The death of Jesus, celebrated by Christians as the defining event not only of his life, but also of the whole of human history, is a weird concept for a modern mind to grapple with. There is no denying that during his life, Jesus displayed signs of being a remarkable prophet and teacher, and that on the cross he personified and exemplified self-sacrifice. But as for being God, didn't he lose the right to that claim? How could Jesus' death be reconciled with the claims made during his earthly ministry and recorded at the end of Matthew's Gospel, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me? Chapter 28, verse 18. How can all authority be given to a loser, to someone who was defeated by death, to someone who endured the worst form of capital punishment, reserved only for slaves and rebels? When Jesus shouted with a loud cry, "It is finished," and breathed his last, would it not be preposterous to think that the world had become a different place? That a new era in human history had been inaugurated? To claim that his death and apparent defeat could be disguised as the ultimate victory would be very strange thinking indeed. The modern martyr, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, witnessed to this strangeness. Bonhoeffer was born into a wealthy and highly cultured German family at the beginning of the 20th century. After a stellar academic career that led to teaching theology at Berlin University by the age of 25, he was drawn into an organized protest and resistance to the rise of Nazi power. Toward the end of the Second World War, a number of Bonhoeffer's closest friends conceived a plan to assassinate Adolf Hitler. They believed that Bonhoeffer could help them, even though he was already in prison for aiding the German resistance movement. A man of principle, fiercely ethical, and unbending in his commitment to non-violence, Bonhoeffer initially refused to take part. But in the end, unable to see any hope for a nation led by Adolf Hitler, he committed himself to a plot to assassinate the Führer, even though he believed he was sinning by doing so and would have to face the judgment of God for his actions. In spite of the justness of the cause and the care with which the plot was carried out, the attempt on Hitler's life failed. Several months later, Bonhoeffer was implicated in the plot, tried without witnesses or a defense, and executed by hanging. He died on April 9, 1945, a few short weeks before the suicide of Hitler, the collapse of the Nazi government, and the end of the war. Yet Bonhoeffer's writings from prison demonstrate that he died content and at peace. He had not lived the easy, pleasant life that someone of his gifts and position might have expected, but he had lived a life full of purpose, dedicated to the universal struggle of good against evil, of righteousness against injustice. He had devoted himself to a cause greater than any individual. He understood more deeply than I can imagine what it was like to live as a disciple in the new world-changing age instituted through the death of Christ. Bonhoeffer had discovered his purpose, understood his struggle, and found the strength to devote himself to a seemingly lost cause through looking to the cross of Christ. By giving his full attention to the meaning and implications of the cross, Bonhoeffer learned that what was truly important was often overlooked and undervalued, causing him to conclude, when meditating on the meaning of the cross, "A king who dies on the cross must be the king of a rather strange kingdom." Bonhoeffer's reflections prompted me to explore the nature of this strange kingdom. Everything about Jesus' life was counter to the kingdom that his contemporaries were expecting and the empire that Rome had established. Perhaps, therefore, it is not so unusual that the nature of his kingdom would be strange to modern-day sensibilities. The man mocked as king is actually King of Kings. Strange as it sounds, Jesus' death is his coronation as king and the triumphal beginning of the long-awaited kingdom.